Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. Oh, my gosh. We're 390-something. I'm so excited. This is episode number 4 with regard to my special guest, Scott Giles, one of the smartest men in our profession. You don't know it, but you owe him in one way or another because of all the work he's done legislative. I can say that. He would probably contradict me, but he is honest, humble, intelligent, confident, and he's someone I recommend that you get into your circle of influence. So just give you a little quick background on this. I've talked about it in the last 3 episodes. I'm going to go through as quick as I can. I just want you to know, in case you haven't watched the 3 previous episodes, who Scott Giles is. Scott is a board-certified chaplain, a real chaplain, and a certified instructor with the National Guild of Hypnotists. His hospital-affiliated practice focuses on medical hypnotism, and he is especially well-known around the country for his work with cancer patients. He has been the affiliated community minister at the Countryside Church, Unitarian Universalist Church in Palatine, Illinois, since 1991. Scott is a member of the National Guild Advisory Board, where he carries the legislation and governmental concerns portfolio. Scott's received most of the awards of the National Guild of Hypnotists, including the top award, the Rexford North Award for Lifetime Achievement. He's also received the Lifetime Achievement from the Five Path Association. I was very proud to be able to give him that. He's received the Ormond Gill Chair Award, and it just goes on and on with awards. In 2006, the Certification Board of the National Guild of Hypnotists elevated him to the highest status in the National Guild, and that is Board Certified Diplomate. Including Scott, there's only 20 diplomates of the National Guild of Hypnotists in the world. He's one of the first inductees into the Order of Braid International Honor Society of Hypnotism. Scott's not just a hypnotist. He's got a spiritual side. He's got a intellectual side to hypnotism. He's got a physical side. Scott is an award-winning second-degree black belt in Taekwondo karate and is currently studying as a swordsman in the Soul Sword tradition. Scott is also a former professional chef. We've had a few very, very nice meals together. Whenever Scott invites me out to dinner, I'll climb over hill and dale to go with him because he is an individual of fine taste, and I'm very happy to be associated with him and his wife. He lives in Wheaton, Illinois. If you want to know more about Scott after listening to this, watching this video, listening to the audio version, please go to www.cscgiles.org. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing fine, Cal.
Yay, good to number be back 4 in the series. I'm excited.
All right. Well, we're talking about forgiveness, which for any a member of the clergy is going to be a popular topic. And let's start off with one of my favorite quotations. I believe it's Mark Twain. He said, "Not forgiving someone is like taking poison yourself and then waiting for your enemy to die."
Absolutely.
And I think that's
right.
Absolutely true. Absolutely. So it's a great skill. Now, if I recall correctly, and I'm not a five-pather, I have a lot of respect for five-path, though, I believe forgiveness is one of your basic techniques. Am I correct?
Right. And phase 1 is a preparation, testing, and convincing phase. Phase 2 is age aggression and age progression work. Phase 3 and 4. Phase 3 is forgiveness of others. And phase 4 is forgiveness of self. Because so long as we are holding people accountable for hurting us or other people or things that we love, then we are connected to that person and those emotions, particularly anger, when we're connected to them. Forgiveness is the antidote to anger that we have towards others, and forgiveness of self is the antidote to feelings of guilt and anger that we have towards ourselves. Very important. And one of the coolest things about forgiveness from the Five Pathers point of view is when done correctly, it provides insight. We get an aha experience. We go into a state of hypersuggestibility, which allows us to accept suggestions for the long term. Scott's going to be telling us something from another Very interesting perspective. Please, go ahead, Scott.
Well, I mean, forgiveness is just huge, as you said. And, you know, in the tradition of spiritual direction, this is the importance of forgiveness is something you find in the spiritual traditions all around the world. Within the Judeo-Christian tradition, of course, it has a special emphasis because Jesus taught that in order to be forgiven ourselves by God, we need to be forgiving other people while we're here on earth. And so it's an important theme. But in terms of a hypnotic practice, when you encourage someone to forgive the long list of wrongs done to them, you're changing the emotional terrain inside their personality. Now, feelings, in addition to everything else they are biochemical states in the human body. When you feel a certain way, you are putting chemicals into the body as surely as if you had taken a syringe and injected them. Those chemicals change how the body works. So if you go through your life feeling like you've been victimized because you haven't forgiven people who have hurt you, and you tell yourself in your inner narrative a victim script, you are changing your body and you are changing your health. And that's used. The research that we've done, we've actually found that certain disease cohorts, certain kind clusters of people with different diseases tend to struggle with different kinds of emotional issues. For example, cancer patients overwhelmingly, and the research was done by Lawrence Lachan back in the 70s. You can read about this in a wonderful book called Cancer as a Turning Point. He found that cancer patients overwhelmingly tended to be the caretaking, over-functioning members of their family who put everyone else first and themselves last. And over time, doing that caused resentment to build in the personality of the individual living with the cancer or who would eventually be diagnosed with the cancer. And we have found, I personally don't think psychological states bring cancer on, but I think the research is clear that once you have cancer, your state of mind is important in predicting your outcome. And we have found that the most dangerous emotion for a person living in recovery from cancer is resentment. So forgiveness becomes a critically important survival skill for a person that you're working with hypnotically for cancer care. In the aftermath of their treatment, you don't want them sitting around stewing with resentment about the long list of wrongs done to me, because that's going to take them in the wrong direction. On the other hand, patients with cardiovascular diseases have different issues. Those kind of patients, and I'm one, tend to struggle with global hostility, and they have anger burbling inside of them. The American Heart Association has done a lot of research with this. So forgiveness, not just a spiritual skill, it's a survival skill when you're working in the medical environment.
Absolutely. And, you know, my background is more in mental health. And one of the things that you learn as you're studying mental health is this thing called diathesis stress hypothesis. And that is, when we look at mental health, one of the things that we say is there's diathesis, two theses, two causes. One is a genetic, physiological underlying weakness or propensity that when stressed to manifest a certain kind of illness. And the other is other causes, and among them are just psychological, emotional stress or environmental stress. So in the world of mental health, it is considered that carrying these psychological or emotional stresses, which of course, just like Scott was saying, causes chemical changes in the body, can contribute to the onset of disease or disorder. Are you in agreement with that, Scott?
Absolutely. In fact, Martin Seligman, who's the director of clinical training at the University of Pennsylvania School of Professional Psychology, done a lot of research of what he calls explanatory style, which is the characteristic way we talk to ourselves. And he found clear similarities, both in animals and in humans, and health outcomes, based upon what a person's explanatory style was like. And if you go through your life with an explanatory style that's hostile, or resentful, or pessimistic, you are changing your health profile. And you're also going to make all the other stress in your life worse. What you tell yourself in the privacy of your mind has an enormous power to influence who you are, who you become, and what happens to you.
Beautiful. And insight processes like age regression, forgiveness work, even parts mediation work, can really begin to shift that internal dialogue and particularly enable you to do this forgiveness, which gives you that new lease, that new perspective.
Absolutely. I use parts work as a standard part of my own approach, and it's a very powerful tool. But also regression can be useful for this. In fact, I think you have a technique you call the informed child, which changes kind of the interpretation of the past narrative.
Right. Now, of course, I didn't come up with the informed child technique, but it's a big part of the age regression. I mean, how many times have we said to ourselves, well, I wish I would have known then what we know now? And with the informed child work, where we have the adult aspect of the client working with the hypnotist, inform the child before the problem begins so that they can go through it. It's like Scott said in a previous episode, you know, things happen and then the mind wants to give meaning to it. Well, those earlier events, when they're given meaning by, you know, the basically ignorant, ill-informed child of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, can be very erroneous, generating emotions that are not based in reality. And so we go back with the adult, shift those perceptions, and it will literally shift our chemistry. Correct, Scott?
Absolutely. And you know, the key thing when you're working, especially in a medical environment, is pointing out to the medical professionals that these emotional changes cause physical changes. You're shifting biochemistry, not just feelings in the mind. So that's the important thing. Cal, there's a great resource I'd like to recommend to people who want to explore forgiveness more, which is the Stanford Forgiveness Project, an actual project of Stanford University Medical Center. And the place to go is learningtoforgive.com. All one word, learningtoforgive.com. You're going to find a tremendous amount of well-refereed research about the emotional and physical effects of forgiveness. Great place to go for resources. And Dr. Fred Luskin, has written a number of articles, and I believe one book, on forgiveness. It's very accessible, and I would recommend that to his work as well to all of the people watching this podcast. And Luskin's work is on the Learning to Forgive website.
And by accessible, I presume you mean you don't have to have a PhD to understand it.
Correct. Very, very simple. In fact, Luskin's work especially, I think anyone high school level or above is going to be able to read with understanding and appreciation. So I strongly recommend it. And also, you know, in terms of regression work, Cal, are you familiar with the work of Dr. Ernest Rossi?
It doesn't come to mind right away.
Dr. Rossi was one, R-O-S-S-I.
Oh, okay, yes, I have heard of him. Got it.
The students of Milton Erickson, and I come out of the Ericksonian side of the hypnosis world. And he's done some research in what he calls state-bound memory. That is, that there are certain experiences which we have which create a body of learning in the mind. And that learning is tied to the physiological state that the body is in at the time the learning occurred, state-bound memory. So if, for example, you were terrified by a parent and you're scolded and frightened and this becomes a sensitizing event in the development of the personality, you really can't affect that sensitizing event until you return the client to the same physical state that the client was in when the sensitizing event occurred. So if the client is terrified when the event occurred, that memory is state-bound and can't really be changed effectively until the person is regressed to that state of terror. So hypnotic regression becomes a very, very good way of bringing a person back to something that approximates that physical state, and then the state-bound memories become more accessible, and you can work with them, you can reframe them, and restructure them, and then forgiveness radiates out like the ripples of after you drop a pebble into a pool.
Exactly right. So, you know, one of the things is, and it could be a state of sadness, or it could be a state of fear, and when we take them back to these events, and then what we can do is take them before the event, do the informed child, and then run them through it again in a different emotional, physical state. And then I talk about this sometimes, that when we regress someone, the hardened character of the individual, the who they are now, becomes much more flexible, and they become more like soft clay. And we can help mold their perceptions and how they respond to situations by going through those events again in that new state. And that new state is based on information, informed child work. Beautiful. Please keep going.
Well, that's basically the core thing. State-bound memory is an important feature that I think hypnotists will learn more about as time goes on. Another thing Rossi teaches is something he calls Altradian rhythms. That is, ordinarily in the course of our day, we do go into a spontaneous state of regression. That is, we're reviewing the things that have happened in our past and building new connections between past learnings and present experiences. And when we're in that state of kind of quiet reverie, where this is occurring, that called the Altradian rhythm, those experiences also become subject to revision. And so quick self-hypnotic processes, affirmation work, that kind of thing, can also be really effective. These are all tools that hypnotists have in their toolkit, or can have, to be able to help people forgive. And as I've said earlier in this podcast, if you change the thoughts in the mind, you change the body as well.
That's right. And my viewers have heard me talk about this. X happens. What happens next is you give meaning to it. And then depending on the meaning you give it, you are going to have either an emotional response that is pleasurable or unpleasurable. And this happens in the brain. It is a release of chemicals. Then you will feel it in your body. So X happens. You give M meaning to it. Then you're going to have an emotional response. Then you're going to feel it in the body. So X, M, E for emotion, F for feeling in the body, and then that emotional feeling then motivates behavior, and that's why you do what you do. But then there is also the secondary effect that when you're consistently creating these kinds of perceptions and creating these kinds of chemicals in your body, it doesn't just have an effect on your behavior and your relationships, but it will have an effect on your health. I have a quick question for you, Scott. In your mind, how do you best explain briefly to a client or patient what forgiveness is?
Well, what I tell them is that forgiveness is a behavior. It starts with a behavior. Now, you're trained in psychological processes, and we've known since the 19th century with William James that feelings follow behavior. If you want to change how you feel, first change how you behave, and the feelings will then adjust. You want to feel more self-confident, act more self-confident, and then your feelings will change. In 12-step programs, this is called fake it till you make it. It does work. So you want to forgive someone, the first thing you need to do is act as if you had forgiven them already. And then your feelings will change. Ultimately, forgiveness is a decision to draw a line through time and to decide what is on the other side of that line no longer will matter. You're going to act to someone as if something that did happen hadn't happened. And when you start doing that, the feelings will also begin to adjust. It's hard, but that's where the work of the hypnotist comes in.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And, you know, I struggled with really trying to understand what this was, because people would talk about forgiveness. And I look at it also, in addition to what you said, as no longer holding that person accountable. Like a bank will say, you know what, it's going to cost us more to collect this loan than the loan's worth. So they will forgive the loan. And they begin, then they say, it's forgiven. And now they behave, like you say, as if it never happened. So it's that letting go of that accountability that you had. It's as if you just let the debt go neutral. And then you can begin to behave. You don't forget that it happened, but you can act as if it didn't. Beautiful, Scott.
Yep. Okay. I want to put a final plug in here for you. Your book, The Secret Language of Feelings, is an absolutely wonderful book to give to clients to help them begin to understand what their feelings say to them. And I do recommend that book routinely. So we're not here talking about it today. I know you have another series of podcasts where you discuss it. But it's a great resource, and I do encourage anyone viewing this podcast to take a look at it.
Oh, thank you very much. Good. Anything else you want to say to wrap it up? I think we've come to the end of
our time.
We're
good. I think we're good, Cal.
All right. Once again, for you folks, I strongly encourage you to bring Scott into your circle of influence. Look at what he's recommending to you as resources. Visit his website. I'm hoping that he will continue this now new tradition of making videos, putting them on the internet, because he's just a wealth of information, and I really value my relationship with him. All right, you folks, I want to see you in class. We got a class coming up October, looking at my calendar here, October 13th to the 24th here in Tustin, California. The weekend is off, so you can go to the beach, or you can go to Disneyland, whatever you want. If you can't be here in person, yes, we do have live online version of the course. You can be virtually here. Raise your hand. I answer your question, all that kind of stuff. And it really does work out good. All right. This is Cal Banyan once again. Thank you, Scott. And to all you folks out there who share us, like us, tell your friends about us, we greatly appreciate you. Please leave a comment below, be this on Facebook or Google Plus or on calbanyan.com, the home of this podcast. That's it. I'm done blabbering. Hope to see you in class soon. Bye for now. Cal Banyan signing out.
This recording is a property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.